expecting to say yay. There's part of me that tempted to come in and hand out a set of marmikomas and say, I don't feel adequately prepared, and therefore you're going to learn during shiur time. I didn't do it because I wanted to get certain things started. You will have a set of makoros arriving probably later this afternoon. They just have to be sent. And there are really two major issues to be worked out in terms of the sugya. Firstly is the sugya internally, the perush of the Mishnah. And the second is the maskanas ha-gemara la-halacha. The Mishnah, we'll start with the Mishnah. Then, is the recorder on?
Yes.
Was it on for the whole discussion?
No. Okay. I kept it on for that
Thank
part
you.
With you.
Yeah. Okay. And now someone listening will wonder,
what was that?
The Mishnah seems to contain an inherent contradiction. But let's pretend you don't know. We read this Mishnah already at the beginning of the semester. We went through the parak, and we allowed certain assumptions to filter in. I want to try to read without those assumptions. That's the best way to read a Mishnah and the best way to read the Gemara. So let's start with what the Mishnah says. Now, just one terminological definition, which I think everybody at this point, Kimat everybody knows, is that the word keva means stomach contents. Right? Rashi tells you that first thing on the Mishnah, zeo chelev karo shebetoch hakeva. Rashi, in fact, writes, interestingly enough, it's chelev karo shebetoch hakeva. It's the chalav, chalav kar shebetoch hakeva. It's the congealed milk inside the stomach. It has started congealed, probably curdled is really the word. So this is to be distinguished from the or hakeva, which is the hide, okay, which is the lining of the stomach or the stomach itself. Now, the Mishnah says, may I have a volunteer reader, please? Moshe? So what does this mean?
The stomach contents of the behema belonging to an ovikamayim or a behema that was in the vela, not chapter properly, is us.
Right. So obviously an anti-Semite could read this Mishnah and get really, really worked up. Right? The stomach contents of a non-Jew or of an avela. So, firstly, what are Jews doing with stomach contents of non-Jews? And number two, is there a comparison between a goy and an avela? It gives new meaning to calling somebody, referring to them, to their faces, dead meat. So the Mishnah obviously is not talking about a kevas oved kochavim. It's talking about something of a behemah of an oved kochavim. And it seems that everybody, I think everybody among the Amorim understands, it means shchitas oved kochavim. It means a goy shecht and something.
Wait, purposely did that though, and arranging the Mishnah just so that it would sound like that?
I don't think so. Okay. I'd like to believe that Rebbe and his editors had better things to do with their time. But none of the Amorim even entertain that. I don't think it's to be considered seriously.
Not that you're supposed to. I'm just poetically, like.
No, I don't think so.
Compare them.
I don't think so.
They do go on anti non-Jewish rants every now and then.
They do, but you have to call Rabbi Nagin and see if he thinks that there's a literary reference. Although knowing his personal general moral sensitivities, I think he would be very reluctant to read the Mishnah that way, even if that's what the intent was. Jason?
When I went this morning, I was under the impression, not that it was shechita that an Oved, from an Oved Kochav, but it was a animal that was belonged to an a idol worshiper and then shechted by a kosher shechita. I don't think
the reason not to read that way is why would you think that, what would the problem be with the keva of such an animal? If a Jew shechted it.
What?
If a Jew shechted it, the Jew didn't shecht it l'shem avodah zarah, presumably.
Isn't that the end of the, isn't that the maskana?
No. The discussion towards the end of the Gemara, before the next Mishnah, is if the goy shechted it, what is the stamach sheves ovei kochavim? There is a discussion somewhere, I don't remember where, it's in Shas somewhere, about whether or not the machshava, it must be in, I bet you, I wouldn't be surprised if it's either in the first parak of Zvachim, the first parak of Chulin. I'll tell you in a second where it is. I think it's in the first parak of Chulin. About whether or not, if the goy has a certain machshava while the Jew shechts it,
right.
Whether that, what's that? That, so you could conceivably construct it that way, but it's simpler for the moment. The way our Gemara I guess it's ambiguous technically, no? That's,
couldn't you say the opposite of
the veal issue?
No. I'm just curious if it's Mefarish in the Gemara or not. Let's avoid that issue for the moment. Let's assume for the moment it's the Goy shechting and not the Jew shechting it. The Gemara certainly is not. I don't think anybody in the Gemara reads it that way.
What's Shmuel confused
about? Let's wait till we get there. Hold on. Let's first read the Mishnah on its own terms. So the keva of an animal of a Goy, which I presume, although this is part of the problem, means that, let's say the Goy shechted, maybe it's the Jew shechted it, and the keva of an Avela is Asura. So what does it mean, Asura?
Any milk that's in the curdled milk inside is Asura.
So you can't drink it. Can't eat it, you can't drink it, whatever it is. Yeah. Okay. What about if you make cheese using a little bit of it? Not using the whole thing. Mishnah doesn't say. Everybody's reading, of course, is, the assumption, I think, is that even Mamed is also Asura. Yeah, although note that the parallelism of language is absent. Next. Go ahead. Alright, now that word, I believe, is not there in the Kisvei Yad. Hamamid be'orshel keva. But let's... So if one uses the orshel keva, what, and it doesn't say what kind of an animal. A kosher, non-kosher animal. Go ahead. Okay, so if you can taste it, whatever that means, if you can taste the meat in the milk of the Or HaKeva, so then it's Asura. If not, it's not. Now, there seems to be no consideration here, or at least not explicitly, of Adavar HaMamid as a separate category. The notion that even though you can't taste it because it leaves a lasting impact, a lasting impression, that it's Asura. Okay, and next... Okay, so now you have a case of two animals that were... How did you get the kevos here? Why do you say presumably you shechted them?
Well, the kshira you might have shechted.
And what about the trefa? Does anybody shecht the trefa?
Sure. No. Well, yes.
No. If they messed up.
You'll find out later.
And if you didn't know...
Then you would have shechted it properly.
Now, if you knew it was a trefa. I'm sorry, if you knew it was a trefa... Would you ever shecht an animal?
Oh, for tumah?
Of course you would, for tumah v'tahara purposes. In other words, if you want to, let's say, even feed it to your dog, you would shecht, you might shecht it so that it's not metame. So the question now, so what do we have here? Now, I know it's not a case where you killed it without shechita. Why? Now, at least I'm assuming so, because it would have been keva nevela. So here's what we have. Keva found inside a nevela is Asur. Keva found inside a shchuta where the milk came from a trefa is Asura. Keva found inside a trefa which got it from a kshera is Muteras. So are there any problems in the Mishnah? In terms of putting these together, Chaim?
I mean, it doesn't seem to match up to the Sefer doesn't seem to match up to the Reisha.
How so?
That, yeah, the Reisha says that you can't have milk, you can't eat the milk that's found inside a nevela.
Okay.
But here we're saying that you could eat the milk that's found inside a trefa.
Okay. So.
On the assumption that you're going to parallel the trefa to the nevela as something that is aser b'achila.
We know they're both aser b'achila. So the question is that really, is that a, is that, okay, so that would at least apparently is a stira. Emmanuel?
So what is the implication of Kanas Bimeha? Why would that be, I mean, I would think that that's why the first thing should be Kota instead of Asa. Because it's Kanas Bimeha, it's Mercer?
It's not, it means it's not part.
It's Kanas as opposed to part of?
Correct.
Collected.
It's simply collected Bimeha. Let me give you an example of a Gemara that you're going to need to know. You're going to need to know later in this sugya, okay, in this discussion, which is the riff. Forget the riff. The Gemara in Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis quotes a braisa to support Rav's position, the Lishnakam of Rav and Kachal. And the braisa says as follows. Kachal shebishla b'chelba muteres. Keva shebishla b'chelba b'chalava, excuse me. Asura. Uma hefresh yesh bein zel lezo. Something like that. Zekonis b'meyaho is the ending. Okay? I should quote it exactly rather than getting it approximately. So we're saying that when it comes to kal, it's not konis b'meyav. It's not milk that just happens to be there. It's a different kind of milk. Whereas by the keva, it's just milk that happens to be pooled there. But for those purposes, it means it's a separate entity. It's not part of that basar. And so here, the question is, could you understand the term? I don't understand. Would it help you here? Probably not. B'meisha konis b'meyav. Right. In other words, it's not part of the animal. So that, especially that part, creates the impression of a conflict with the Reisha, which says that the keva found inside an Avela and the keva found inside a Shechitas Oved Kochavim is Asur. Okay. Now, before the Gemara gets to deal with that, it's got to deal with the larger problem. The keva of an Oved Kochavim, of a Shechitas Oved Kochavim, should also be an Avela. So the Gemara says. Go ahead. So what do you mean? What's the difference between a Kevas Oved Kochavim and a Kevas Nevela? Now I'll tell you what the obvious answer could have been, but probably not what the Mishnah's intent was. What? Ze Aser Bahana and Ze Aser Bahachila. Because you might have said that the Shechitas Oved Kochavim might be Aser Bahana. There's a Shita, Rabbi Eliezer. It's Tamach Sheves Avodas Kochavim. Of Oved Kochavim is Lavo Des Kochavim? Maybe. I'm not saying it has to be, but. So the Gemara wants that the animal drop dead on its own. The guy didn't do a Masa Shechit on it. Or you didn't do a Masa Shechit. I didn't say there would be. I said that would be the difference between them. But the Gemara says, Atu Kevas Oved Kochavim Lan Veli is not Nevela. So Amar Avuna. So Rav Huna says it's a case where a Jew shechts it, but he buys the animal from a guy. Now it's not, Jason, what you suggested earlier, that the guy is a machshava while the Jew shechts it, because it doesn't belong to the guy anymore. And if it doesn't belong to the guy anymore, we have a principle that if you don't do a maisa, when something is not a maisa, ain't adam osa davar shein shalo. If someone bows down to your behemoth, they can't make it osar. You bow down to your behemoth is a different story. So Rav Huna says it's a case where you buy the animal from a non-Jew. So what's the concern then? What's the problem? Shech that it's keves ksheira. So he says, v'chayshinan. It's a funny chashash. Shema yonak mina trefa. Yeah?
That means that we're shechting it right away.
Yes.
So if we were to keep it for a month, whatever.
That cable would be long gone. Lechule Alma, at that stage, it would be Pirshan. If it was anything, it would be. And whatever any milk you might find would have been from something it suckled in the possession of the Jew.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so but I could argue it distinguishes because they're halachically true differently. That doesn't solve the problem. It's fine. Okay, so go ahead. So that's an interesting chashash. How common are trefas? I guess it depends who you ask. Shechter thinks that almost maybe everybody would say that almost all the milking cows, by the time they're finished with them and they actually shech them, they find their lungs full of sirchas. Okay, so I'm not going to discuss the whole trefa question. The bottom line is there's a certain number of trefas, but under normal circumstances, in animals raised under normal circumstances for animals, you know, free range, so I understand. So there are a lot of abnormal things about what we do. So the bottom line is that under their circumstances, most animals were not treifas. Treifas were mute. The only treifas until recently that we did bedikas for, maybe still only the bedikas for, are the circus on the lungs, because everything else was a mute shein hamatzui. This might be a mute hamatzui, but you know. Yes, Jason?
I just want to point out that the rabbi we're taking shlita with said that it's a different case in America now. And the cows are treated way...
much more poorly.
Yeah, than in Europe.
Yeah.
That's not our shlita, because in kind of milk
products. Right. So that's why I suggested to him, although he seems not to be Maccabi up, I'm not sure why. I guess you need to find out that if you get organic, you know, organically raised, you know, free range milk, then I think you can get this stuff. So then she shouldn't have a problem with it either. You should be able to enjoy milk and the cereal again also. On his Cheerios, without deciding which bracha he's actually making on it. Okay.
That's why he ate toast for breakfast.
All right. It's not nice to make Yoridea jokes for the guys who are in the chulin, okay?
All right.
Okay. So now the Gemara jumps on this and says what? Go ahead. This is very interesting. You can buy eggs from a non-Jew, and you're not choshesh that the eggs of a nevela. What's the din of the egg of a nevela, by the way? So from the Bryce, it's obvious that it's also, but it's a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai said it's one of the coolest of Beis Shammai that im yesh kayotze bo nimkeres bashuk, it's muteres and lav asur, and Beis Hillel says it's also no matter what. And Beis Shammai is moded by the baits of a treifa that it's also. Why? It's what we call in Amoraic terminology, or alternate Mishnaic terminology, right? The egg was produced by a treif chicken, therefore the egg is it's like milk from a pig or milk from a treifa animal.
Is that
Isser
or
Durban? What?
Is that
Duraisa?
With the definition of a Beitas Nevela, it's when you find it inside the bird after you killed it.
Correct.
Okay.
That is a Beitas Nevela, or if it died a natural death.
But Beitas Treifa would be...
the animal's a treifa.
So even if it got laid...
correct. And somehow you find out the animal's a treifa.
It dies like the next 20 minutes later.
Yeah. Or something like that, so then it would be... right. So, so there's obviously one obvious question, which you should ask, when the Gemara deals with, which is, how do you know it's a kosher bird? You knock on the egg... you crack it open, you look inside, it defeats the purpose.
Wait, what do you mean? How do you know it's a kosher?
How do you know the egg? You know it's... we're not choshesh mishum nevela, we're not choshesh mishum treifa. What about uftame? How do you know it's from a kosher bird? Non-kosher birds lay eggs too.
So the Gemara
says more than that. The Gemara says the guy has to identify the species that it comes from. He has to say ploni oftahar. Meaning it has to be an oftar, and he has to name a species where you could then go and compare it, where you would be choshesh. I don't know what you have to ask the kashrus organization. I assume today, probably lots of eggs, they probably have an OU on them, but I'm not sure if it requires hashkacha, because the claim is being made, I mean, aside from government supervision, the claim is being made that it comes from a chicken. That's what they're saying. That's not Mesiach Lefitumo. The guy knows he's selling you the egg. So the answer is, why shouldn't we believe him? This goes back into our discussion on Thursday. We don't automatically, unless there's a cheskas issur, we don't assume that somebody's... that's my assumption. As look, there is a requirement here of some... it's not a verification. We wouldn't accept this by basar. I forget the fact that you wouldn't have an equivalent verification system. The reason why, if anything, you'd be choshesh that here, it's not that the guy is trying to trip you up, rather than... even it would just be that Mitzvah the guy only had these non-kosher eggs and wanted to sell them and wanted to make money, and that's the only rechoshesh. If there were no money involved, we might not even require him. It's not clear to me, as we might not require him to go this far. I'm sorry. Okay. So, anyway, whatever the reason is, the Gemara talks about simanim, whether there is such a thing as simanim by Beitzas Oftar, you can tell. Whatever it is, so the Mishnah says, "Na choshesh mishum nevel, na choshesh mishum treifa." So why would be choshesh here? So the Gemara answers. Okay, now, would you classify this as a highly likely or highly unlikely circumstance? Any of you know the story of Owen and Mizeh? No? No. Oh, you do have such things. You do have occasionally cross species. They're very strange things, even dogs and cats. Now, this was the this wasn't exactly nursing. This is the hippo and the Aldabra tortoise that they rescued after the tsunami.
Right.
And it's in Kenya, I think. Mombasa is okay. Where I think it's where they rescued him, and so it's a very strange thing. It's a kid's book also. It's a real book, but I mean,
they became really good friends.
Really good friends, yes. Yeah. That's a very heartwarming book. So anyway, yeah. You have such things.
What
you
were
could
the animals that became friends?
It was an Aldabra tortoise, I think is what it's, way it's pronounced.
What's an Aldabra tortoise?
It was like 150 years old. This tortoise, in fact, and a hippo. I don't know how they're doing now, but this is it's really an amazing story. So you could have such a what?
How old was the hippo?
It was an orphan hippo. It was a very young hippo that, and they couldn't bring it to another hippo pod because the other hippo pod would kill it. It was a stranger. So basically, they took it to. They had to rescue it from this like almost mini island, and they had to figure out what to do with it. So they. So you can have. What? Sort of. It seems to act like the tortoise seems to. It seems to think the tortoise is its mother, at least, and they're very good friends. And this is a tortoise that made friends with nobody before, and it's weird. It's a very funny story. So. You have to go to the library and get it out. You go on the web, I'm sure you can find it also.
Maybe
so.
Just afraid it's going to sit on it.
Emmanuel, I have a response, but I'm going to restrain myself, okay? So bottom line is you can have species that might happen. It's not a typical occurrence. So, but the Gemara says the following. Go ahead. Umayshna. Trefa delochai shinan. Go ahead, Moshe. So then why should there be a distinction between the two? So the answer is... Okay, that makes sense. But then the Gemara says... Now it may be that one of our calves goes and nurses from a non-kosher animal... And then we shech the calf, not realizing that it's not its mother's milk, that it's pig's milk or something like that. Okay, so the Gemara says... So in other words, we, who are badlina minayu, we don't generally have non-kosher animals, and if we saw one of our young kosher animals nursing from a non-kosher animal, we'd probably separate them. So however, but the goyim... What's that?
Why would you have non-kosher animals?
Donkeys,
a dog?
Yeah, donkeys maybe. Okay. So therefore, however, inhu. Right. So this was Rav Huna's response to the Mishnah. The reason why the Mishnah says. The kevas over kachavim is not a case of something that's an avela, but rather it's something that's purchased from a non-Jew, and that's why the mission is not redundant at all. Okay. Is there a question? Yes, I know. Okay, go ahead. Shmuel is presented as explaining the Mishnah as being really one, it's really one thing. Kevas shchitas over kachavim nevela. What Shmuel is being mechadish, why the Mishnah has to tell us this, Tosis points out, is not clear because we know that already. But, okay. So Shmuel says it's one statement.
Could it have been for an
Isser No. Adarav, then you wouldn't want to put it together because the Nevela is not Asr Bana. So now the Gemara says, could Shmuel possibly have said this? So mi amar Shmuel hachi. So what's the question? Shmuel says that the reason why they asked Gvina Sakum is because Mamidin Osoba or Kevas Nevela. It's mashma from Shmuel's statement that what? That Kevas Nevela would be Muteres. Now, what's the problem with Shmuel's statement? Against the Mishnah. So Tosas points out here. Look at Tosas Dibar Maschil Umiyamar Shmuel Hachi. What does Tosas say? And it's essential just in understanding the flow of the Gemara, realizing you get it straight. What does Tosas say? Read it, Moshe. Right, in other words, the question has nothing to do with Shmuel's Okimta in the Mishnah. Shmuel said that the reason why is giving us Akam Asr? You're going to, on the Marim HaKomas, you're going to see the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. What reason does the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah give? What reason does Rabbi Yoshua give in response to Rabbi Shmuel's question?
It's not, never mind.
No response. He said, first he gives one response. Rabbi Shmuel says, that can't be because of X. So then Rabbi Yoshua says, a different response than Rabbi Shmuel says, that can't be because it's only Asabachla and Asabana. So then Rabbi Shmuel says to him, how do you pronounce it? Kitovim dodecha or kitovim dodayich? That's the dialogue in the Mishnah. Right? He sealed the Dabar Acher. He changed topic. He wouldn't tell him why. So the Gemara says there, it's an optional on the Marim HaKomos because depending on how much time you have to prepare, the Gemara says that when they made a Gezerah, they didn't reveal the reason for the first year. And so that was, people might be mezalzel in the Gezerah. So they wanted to establish the practice before they would let it be known why. Of course, in this case, the reason seemed to have almost vanished into a black hole, so you have like five different reasons given by the Amorim. One of them happens to be given by Shmuel, which is the one we have quoted right here. So the truth is, you could have asked Akasha on Shmuel directly from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Kevas Akum is Kevas Nevela is Asura, and Shmuel says that Shmuel implies that Kevas Nevela is in fact Muteris. Only or Kevas Nevela is Asura. So that's where Tosis finishes. Ella ha. So a funny comment Tosus has. From the fact that Shmuel explains the Mishnah, it means he holds like the Mishnah. And if Shmuel hadn't explained the Mishnah, we would have said, oh, Shmuel would have just said, I don't hold like the Mishnah. I disagree with the Mishnah. What does that mean? Shmuel doesn't argue on the Mishnah. Unless you say there's a Mishnah somewhere else, I don't know what other Mishnah there is. Jeremy?
Maybe it would have been a weak argument, because as is, Shmuel is changing the wording on the Mishnah. Once we see the Mishnah is
yeah, but
viable
each...
in the hands of Shmuel, then wouldn't be such a strong question to ask upon
from the Mishnah. Yeah, but the language before he changed it was a problem. The language after he changed it was a problem.
Just saying.
Shmuel's change did not address the basic fundamental issue that creates a problem for himself. It addressed a tangential issue. Okay. So anyway, the Gemara could have asked this question. So what's the answer to the problem? How do you explain that Shmuel says that Keves Nevela is Muteres, but yet the Mishnah says Keves Nevela is Asura? And the answer is? Before Chazara and after Chazara. What does this mean? What is before and after the Chazara? What does it mean, Kan Kodem Chazara, Kan Lacher Chazara? Shmuel went over the Mishnah, learned it once. He said one thing, then he learned it again and said something else.
The person who said it.
I assume people. I assume that you looked in Rashi, and you know what Kan Kodem Chazar and Kan Lachar Chazar means. What does it mean? Did anybody?
We did it already.
I know. So you already heard it once before. Did more than two people prepare this? I would be done lekaf schus, but probably foolishly to assume that you got bogged down in Rashi and the Mishnah that you never got to the Gemara. So maybe for some people that's the case, but it shouldn't be so difficult. It shouldn't be so difficult. There are 3 hours this morning. So if you're doing your Yeridea, you have a Mixus Patur, but you're supposed to have a second Seder anyway, so it should be presumably done on that second Seder. And you should know this anyway, because we spoke about this at the beginning of the semester. And if you did in your Yeridea, you should have encountered it there as well. What does it mean, Kan Kodem Chazara, Kan Lachar Chazara?
Always in Yeridea.
Ellie? I'm sorry?
It's referring to the episode you mentioned.
Okay. And what does before Chazara mean? So let me, before you can point out, let me just state the dialogue in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yishmael asked Rabbi Yeshua, "Mema osru gvino shel goyim?" Rabbi Yeshua says to them, "Mema osru gvino shel goyim?"
So we're doing the Tosefta?
What?
Is that when we're doing the Tosefta?
Yes, that's when we spoke about it.
No,
they changed
their opinion. It's in the Mishnah. Yes. Well, I want to know, what is Kan Kodem Chazara, Kan Lachar Chazara? They didn't change their opinion in the middle of this Mishnah.
No, they're separate.
There are two parts to this. This Mishnah is a composite of two different Mishnayos. One, which the Yerushalmi terms, and this is, by the way, an assumption. This is what the Gemara is saying now, for the moment, that what the Yerushalmi terms at Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Acharona, there are two Mishnayos that have been glued together here, which contradict one another. So the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah says the following. He asked Rabbi Yishmael, why were they osir gavino shogayim? Rabbi Yishmael said to him, because ma'amidin oso bekevas nevela, I think. Right? Then, so it means that if you use the keva of a nevela to be ma'amid, it's osir. To which Rabbi Yishmael responded, but kevas ola is chamura heimena. A karban ola, a nevela is only osir b'achila. A karban ola is osir b'hana, there's me'ila. And yet, the keva of the ola, an ola has to be burnt, all on the mizbeach. The Mishnah says, or the Gemara says, there must be a braisa somewhere, that says that kohen shedato yafeh, sorfo chaya. What does that mean? A kohen who has a dainty approach. It's a euphemism. It means who's crude. Can consume it raw. He can drink it raw. And there's no me'ila involved. It's not part of the karban ola. You don't violate me'ila.
What is sorf?
I didn't say that. I said it's not part of the karban ola. I didn't say that. It's not part of the karban ola. Be very careful when you use that term. That's a loaded term. And therefore, if that's mutaris, certainly the keva of a nevela is also not part of the nevela. So what's the problem? So Rabbi Yishmael says, okay, I'll tell you why. Because the ma'amidin oso, and bekevas egle avodah zarah. And the assumption here, and this is a very important assumption, but one which you'll see if you get the chance to look at the Gemara of avodah zarah, is that the keva of something that's nesar b'hana of avodah zarah itself is asura. In other words, there's an assumption in Rabbi Yeshua's response to Rabbi Yishmael that even though an ola is asur b'hana and an egle avodah zarah are asur b'hana, there's a difference between them in terms of the keva. That an ola would be mutaris, but an avodah zarah would be singled out, would be asura.
What's the chiluk?
Look in the Gemara. Then, it's on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Then, Rabbi Yishmael responds and says, yeah, but if that's the case, the keva gvinas goyim should be not only asur b'achila, it should be asur b'ana, because an egle avodah zarah asur b'ana. So if the keva, in that case, is taking on the status of the animal which it's found, so then it's all asur b'ana. To which Rabbi Yeshua then says, tell me, how do you read kitovim dodecha, kitovim dodayich? I think Rabbi Yishmael gets it wrong there. And Rabbi Yeshua has to prove to him from the next pasuk or something like that. L'reach shmanecha tovim. So, okay. So anyway, Rabbi Yishmael didn't know Tanakh. Or he didn't know his Masoretic vocalization well enough. So, the assumption is Kodem Chazara and La'achar Chazara referred to before Rabbi Yeshua was Chozer Bo, at least in terms of his dialogue. Originally, Rabbi Yeshua said that Keva is part of the animal in which it's found, is considered generally the case. Once Rabbi Yishmael demonstrated to him from Ola that isn't so, so then Rabbi Yeshua said, of course, Kevas Nevela would not be Asura, but Kevas Egle Avodah Zarah would be Asura. And there was a different problem with that. That's not our problem right now. So you see that originally Rabbi Yeshua said that Kevas Nevela is Asura, and then later he said it's Muteres. And if you're looking at, and now what is he really saying? So for the moment, what does it mean when he says Kevas Nevela is Asura, Kevas Nevela is Muteres? What does that really mean? How would you formulate that conceptually? What is the difference between Kodem Chazara and La'achar Chazara? I sort of said it in passing a couple of times. Ellie?
Whether the keva is part of the animal.
Whether the keva is part of the animal in which it's found. Kodem chazara, he thought it was part of the animal which was found, in which case kevas nevela is nevela. After chazara, kevas nevela is, I don't want to use the term pirsha, AJ, but kevas nevela means it's not part of the animal which it's found. Yes?
How does this relate back to no Saint Tom or not?
That's not talking about keva, it's talking about our keva.
Okay, no, but
so the Mishnah says, the Mishnah shown as kevas oved kochavim v'shel nevela is asura. Mishnah, which why? Because the keva of a nevela, found inside a nevela, is nevela. But achar chazara, the keva is something else. It's not part of the animal which it's found, and therefore treifa shiyanka, ksher shiyanka mena treifa kevas asura. Why? Because it's not part of the ksher that you just shechted. It has the status of the treifa from which it came, and the milk that comes from a treifa is not kosher. Treifa shiyanka mena ksher. Kevasa muteres. Why? Because if you don't go bust of the animal in which it's found, you go the source of the milk. And the source of the milk was a kshera, and therefore it's muteres. Kan kodam chazara, kan la'achar chazara.
So it's an issue of the status of the milk that's found in the keva?
What's that?
So it's an issue of
the status of the milk that's found in the keva. Is it... it's status of the keva.
Right.
Status of the milk found in the ora keva. Yeah. Does that foul the animal which it's found, or does it not? I'm just going to say it that way for the moment. Okay, so that's the end of the first part of the Gemara. Now on to the second part. Ksheva shiyanka min atreifa. Moshe? Okay. Now, you notice that there's a word in square brackets? The chule.
That means it has nothing to do with what it's about to talk about.
No, it's not that it has nothing to talk about,
well,
but
the main discussion is going to be about
on
the
second half of the sentence. The v'chulei is very, very important because the kash is not on kshera shiyanka min atreifa, it's on treifa shiyanka min akshera.
It seems that they have a tendency to do that.
Yes. The Bali Atosas point this out in a few places in Shas. Sometimes the Gemara quotes a pasuk and it really wants the second half.
Right.
So yeah, they assume you know the rest of the Mishnah. V'chulei. So v'hakatani reisha. So what's the stira? Says... Very important save there at the end. At least as the treifa.
Yeah, the treifa.
Correct. Well, why do they think it's a stira then? That's obiko chashchi, the sos chomen nevela. This is treifa.
It seems like if you bring them all in, under the umbrella of something of an animal that's offered, that's a bachila.
No, you need to say better than that. We just said it. Emmanuel?
Well, the question is whether or not it's.
If it's considered, I don't want to say if it's considered part of the animal which it's found or not. So kevas nevela is asura. It means it's part of the animal. Kevas treifa shiyanka menachera is not considered part of the animal. Now you might be scratching your head and something should bother you, which is
what? Didn't we just discuss this?
Read on. Now, Rav Chisda, it's easy to lose the impact of Rav Chisda's statement. Rav Chisda is saying something tremendous here. I mean,
it's more aside.
Yes, but there's more. That's as far as what Rav Chisda says. The important part, and it's easy to lose perspective on this, how does Rav Chisda read the Mishnah? It's easy to lose it. It's obvious once I ask the question, but it's very easy to lose it.
That the Risha is actually talking about a totally kosher animal? It's just that he bought it from a non-Jew, so therefore it's not. It's nirakol. It's nirakol chel nevilas.
No. No. What's that?
The keva still has, the keva really is not.
Yeah, Yair, what did you say? Yes. So, but there's an, so that is true.
It's not an issue. The status isn't different between the two. It's not that there's a difference in status. It's just that it looks like.
What do you mean status?
In other words, does it have the? Does it pick up the rules of the animal? The status of the animal.
Yeah, I know. He said that to more than that. What emerges in terms of his reading of the Mishnah, Ellie?
It's a unity.
It's a unified reading. It's easy to lose it because he gets sandwiched between Kan Kod Lechazara Kan Lechazara and the next teretz, the alternate teretz to the Stira, is Kan Kod Lechazara Kan Lechazara. Obviously, these two sugyas did not. When the second sugya was composed, they're not aware of the first sugya here. That's very clear. Otherwise, it's a very strange to start asking the question. It was two different questions that was asked. One was asked from Shmuel in the Mishnah. One was asked internally in the Mishnah.
Is this a Rukhaz that disagrees with Shmuel?
Yes. He does, certainly.
Okay.
Certainly is how to read the Mishnah. According to Rav Chisda, is the Mishnah unified all Kodem Chazara or all Achar Chazara? Let's take a vote. Who thinks it's Kodem Chazara? Who thinks it's Lachar Chazara? Who doesn't think? What's the answer, Chaim?
Lachar.
Of course it's Lachar Chazara. The assumption is that it's only Asim in the Rabbanan. That Kevas Nevelas Asim, because it looks like you're eating the Velas. But Kevas Trefas Shchuta, so it doesn't look like you're eating. It means it's only Asim in the Rabbanan, which means it's Lachar Chazara. But there's Xerid Rabbanan on Kevas Nevela. The whole point is if it's only really, fundamentally, it's Mutter, you're probably not going to Asir. Presumably, you're not going to ask the Green or Shagai. Well, that could be actually a point of debate. In other words, why not read it the way Rav Huna is reading it? Rav Chisda is reading it. So part of it maybe is because they may not like the way, you know, you do make Xer here, you don't make Xer there. It does look, it doesn't look. Or it also could be, if you say that it's also mid Rabbanon, then why in fact was Rabbi Yeshua Chozer Bo? He should have just said that, yeah, even though it's Mutter Medina, it's Mutter Bayanola, it's also Bayanavela, because it's Nerika Ochal Nevelos. So I'll tell you what Pshat might be anyway, the reason why. Rav Chisda would say that Rabbi Yeshua would never accept that as the reason is since you're not eating the keva by the cheese, you just take a little bit and you put it in to be mamid, it's not nirak ochal nevelos. That might, in other words, the gzera wouldn't be shayach there. That's why Rabbi Yeshua backed away. Yes, Chaim.
Just to define the case, when we say mamid, what exactly is he doing there? He's taking a keva that he pulled out of an animal and putting milk in?
No, if you pull what? The keva, Chaim, please be precise in the language. Pull the keva
the ora keva.
No, when you mamid with keva, it means you take a little bit of the keva, little bit of
milk from that you pulled out of the ora keva.
Correct, and you drop it into your milk, and that starts the chain reaction.
Okay.
Mamid bi is instrumental, not location.
Mamid
bi kevas nevela.
Right, we were thinking that, he's putting it in the ora.
Thank you. I probably realized this a long time ago. One of the reasons why the terminology is so confusing is because the preposition base is ambiguous. So when you say hamamid bekevas nevela, you're immediately thinking, you think keva is a stomach, and you think be means in the stomach.
Right.
But when you say mamid be or kevas nevela, it doesn't have to be in either. It could be you have a vat of milk and you dip the stomach lining, or it could be inside the stomach. But when you're mamid bekevas nevela, it means you take some, be means with.
Piece of the skin.
Now right? It actually makes sense why he's talking about mimba mino.
Right. If you think about the first ambiguity in all of biblical literature, midrashic ambiguity is
terminology.
Bereshis, right? We normally think it means in the beginning. You know, call it temporal. But there are a whole bunch of midrashim because of the funny form that you know. In the Targum have some of them that bereshis bishvil Torah shenikra bereshis. Or alternatively, with the Torah as the blueprint, estakel baraisa bara alma, that's taking the base instead of having it being, you know, temporal. It now becomes instrumental or something like that. So here, mamid bikevas nevela means by means of, not in. Okay.
So hamamid b'orah shel keva is you take a small piece of the stomach lining.
That could be either way. In other words, you can't be mamid b'keva. You can be mamid b'orah keva if you want, if it means in.
Right.
But you don't have to. In other words, you can just dip the stomach lining in also. right? The way it's done today, obviously, is they take the stomach lining, they dry it out, grind it up into a powder, and just put a few things in. Okay, fine. So now I have the limud tzchus. Everybody got stuck because of that, and they were going in circles. Fine. So that's what Rav Chista has a unified reading of the Mishnah. It's easy to forget that. But he's reading it unified, even though you just saw Kan Kol Nuchas HaKachazar, he's not working with this sugya. Now, the alternate answer, so now the Gemara just works out the details of the Gzeira. Amalei Rava. I'm sorry, so Reishaner Kocha Nevelo Sacha Ikashchitas. Amalei Rava. It's a Kol Shehu. Kol Shekain. It's a Kabachomer. You have, it doesn't make sense what you're saying. What? Why? Uma Nevela. Right, so he says that, and this is obviously partially a cultural, sociological observation. Today I don't think we would think this way. I think most of us would find, most of us who've never experienced it, would find the thought of eating pork somewhat repulsive. But it's cultural, obviously. There are millions and millions of people in this country who think it's... No, I think it's not that Efshi... It's not that you don't want to eat. It's the notion. If you told somebody by accident you just ate, you know, something that wasn't didn't have a proper shechita, so I don't think they would react as negatively as if you told them you just ate pork. That's a better way of putting it. It's a cultural thing. So apparently for them, nevela was meisa, trefa you did a proper shechita. Okay, so it's got a tiny little perforation along. Okay, so it's aser. It's aser in the Torah, but it doesn't carry the same degree of ick, if you might call it, as does nevela. So Rava says to Rav Chista, look, if nevela is me'isa, and they don't allow eating the keva, a treif is a kal v'chomer. So Ella, so rather, what must it be? Amar. Mishnah lo zaza mimkoma. Note that, by the way, this part wasn't quoted in the first sugya in the Gemara. I strongly suspect that this sugya is earlier, although I can't really prove it. Fine. So they give the same answer that we just gave to explain Shmuel in the Mishnah. They give to explain the Mishnah in the Mishnah. Fine. And Mishnah lo zaza mimkoma. What does that mean? It's a very important line, but not for our sugya. It means there was an editorial process to the Mishnah. And once Rebbe, it indicates that there was an earlier stage of the Mishnah, and when the halacha was later changed, they never removed it. Now, this is a very, very, very radical statement, however, in this context. Why? What does it suggest about the editorial process of the Mishnah?
It wasn't very well done.
No. That wouldn't bother me. It pushes it very early. It means you have... When the Mishnah... Rav David Tzvi Hoffman has a book about it, actually, called the Ershta Mishnah. That's the original, and it's been translated in Hebrew and I think English also. So the issue has been spoken about Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona. Some debate whether or not Mishnah Rishona really means an earlier recension of the Mishnah, or just means the earlier halacha. And there's what to be said. There's hardly established evidence, at least from just studying those terms, Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona, that it means an earlier recension of the Mishnah. This, I think, is a real debate. I think this issue was really debated between Albeck and Epstein. But the statement, when you say lo zazam im koma, that would strongly suggest that you're already talking. One thing is clear. There are formulations, there are individual mishnayis, individual halachos already formulated that exist earlier in the Tanaitic period. About that there's no question. But the question of whether collections of mishnayis exist and how early they exist, so this would be suggesting that you already have a sufficiently redacted mishnah in Rabbi Yoshua's time that after Rabbi Yoshua changed his mind with Rabbi Yishmael, they didn't remove it from the mishnah. Very interesting. Mishnah on those Zaza Mimkoma. Okay.
I don't entirely understand how Yitzchak's answer here addresses the issue.
Because the first half of the Mishnah was an earlier stage. And when the Mishnah said, Asura, you can end it, I don't care where you put the period, there or after the next line, that was Mishnah Rishona. That was an earlier stage of the Mishnah. That was Shnuya, that was taught at a time that they held that Kevas Nevela had the din of Nevela, that Kevas of an animal had the din of the animal in which it's found. And then when when they changed their mind about that, the Chacham changed their mind as how to relate to the Keva, and that the Keva is different than, let's say, to give the example the Yushalmi is going to use, from the egg, which is found inside a chicken, because the keva isn't produced by the animal which it's found where the egg is. So then, Acha Chazara, Rabbi Yishmael said, you're right, that can't be an issue. So then, the first part of the Mishnah is no longer true. The second part of the Mishnah is true, but they never removed it from the Mishnah. They never removed it from the Mishnah.
So making this little clear within the Mishnah, before we want to make this little clear within the Mishnah itself, right?
I'm sorry? So Rabbi Chista held the Mishnah was all one unified piece, and it was taught Lacha Chazara. That even Lacha Chazara, there's exer the Rabban on eating a Keves Nevelos straight. Because Nirikol HaNevelos. And Rabbi Yitzchak, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, comes along and says no, that the explanation for the apparent stira in the Mishnah is because there is a stira. The first part of the Mishnah was the Mishnah Rishona, and the latter part is the later Mishnah. And they just never removed the Mishnah Rishona from the Mishnah.
So is Rav Chista's suggestion...
The way I'm reading right now, by the way, is the way Rashi remade with Tamri. The way the Rif reads is not so pashut. Okay? But that's the simplest reading of the Gemara right now.
So is this a rejection of Rav Chista's Shiva?
What's that? Yes! Yeah, Rava challenged him. And let's put it this way. Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Yonasan is not in response to Rava's question. I don't know exactly... it could have been actually. Rav Yitzchak is a contemporary of Rava, but Rav Yochanan certainly is not in response to Rav Chista's comment. This is just Rav Yochanan's reading of the Mishnah, and Rav Yochanan's reading of the Mishnah is the way they deal with the problem in Shmuel as well. It might very well have been Shmuel's reading of the Mishnah, for that matter, but it wasn't Rav Chista's. Shlomo, do you have a question? Yeah.
So why did Rav Yochanan came before Rav Chista?
One was in Bava, one was Eretz Yisrael. I suspect Rabbi Yochanan might be a little older. I don't know that he probably doesn't know Rav Chista.
Right, so it's not surprising that Rav Chista doesn't know Rabbi
Yochanan. Not a shock either. But Shmuel would apparently, and you can't tell, it's the Bavli's explanation of Shmuel, but Shmuel says Shemamidim Be'or Kevas Nevela, the diuk they make from Shmuel is a very reasonable diuk. That's probably what Shmuel's intent was. Right, Shmuel knows the Mishnah also. Right. Shmuel knows the Mishnah also, the Mishnah Avodah Zarah. As does Rav Chista. Rav Chista just doesn't see fit to put it in here. But what Shmuel does do is that he makes it clear, he makes it more explicit that Kevas Nevela on its own, without the or, is Muteres. Rav Chista denies that. Shlomo.
It's not problematic to assume that the din was changed for the Mishnah anyway. We're not talking about...
You have, this is not the only case.
I don't understand that, but it's not like we're talking about different opinions within halacha, and you have, you know, this Tana says X, this Tana says Y, you pass him like X. This is something that we don't pass him like that's codified in the Mishnah.
Okay, but that's because according to this presentation, you know, so now you're raising the different question, is what's the purpose of the Mishnah? So again, that's a famous machlokas. I said before, Albeck Epstein and we'll even throw Neusner. You know, Epstein thinks it's a law code, and reasonably so. Albeck would quote this Mishnah, or this Gemara's usage in Mishnah as a raya, that it wasn't a law code, because otherwise you would have taken that part out. And Neusner thinks it's a philosophy book. Yes.
We don't paschal.
That's for sure. The chuyah.
Why don't we just say that it's a law code, and that the way that the editorial process works on certain books is that it's canon, and once it comes in...
Because it's extremely misleading. You would at least have a notation. You notice the Mishnah, by the way, I'll tell you the argument for... What's the argument really in favor of Rav Chista? The argument is that we have Mishnayos in which it says Zo Mishnah Rishona Aval Beisdin Shalach Harem Amru. Looking Subos about an Arusa Ocheles Betruma Higias Man Valonises Ochos Mishalochs Betruma Zo Mishnah Rishona Beisdin Shalach Amru Ein Haisha Ocheles Betruma Ashtikonis Lushusa. What? No, the Gemara implies that they're about, but before Kodem Chazara and Lachar Chazara of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. In fact, what's that? No, and it's not in the Mishnah. There is, no, you have an Adios, the Machlokas, what do you do with a Chetzi Yav and Chetzi Minchor? Beis Shammai originally said, Beis Hillel said, Ovedis Rabba Yomecha, Vedis Atzma Yomecha, Beis Shammai said, Kofanis Rabba Chiasis of Minchor, Vekosal Ishtar Chatzi Damav, Vekofanis Rabba Osis of Minchor, and eventually after dialogue, Beis Hillel was, you know, Chazur Beis Hillel, Horos, Lahodos, Kedivre Beis Shammai. So that's where, that's Mishnah, the Gemara terms that Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona. Interestingly enough, it's also strange, the term Kodem Chazara and Kan La'achar Chazara, it's a really weird expression in the Bavli, because that term is found in Adios there in the four cases where Beis Shammai is Beis Hillel's Chazru, Beis Hillel Hoskid Beis Shammai. The Yushalmi uses the terminology here, Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona, which actually makes more sense. But still, in the Mishnah itself, you would have expected a marker to be there, and that would have cleared up the confusion. And that may be why Rav Chisda says what he says. Okay, but note, by the way, it's not, in other words, the Yushalmi, again, not surprising, Rav Yochanan, in Eretz Yisrael, they certainly understood the Mishnah this way, and the Pashtus is, so did Shmua.
I mean, was this like on a lot of things that Rabbi Yoshua changed his mind on? Because I was just following the Masorah Shas, like it points it to an argument that dealing with the Makom Shechita, where it seems like it's used over there as well. This argument of Kan, before.
I don't think you have that many cases. What was that? Where is that?
Lamed Bet.
That's a different issue, not related to this, right?
I mean,
it's just the
same
terminology.
Yeah, it's right. He
where is it? Hold on. What are you talking? I don't lament basement. I see Mishnah is doesn't come. Where's the Rebbe?
Yeah, right before that. It's almost a word for word quote there.
Oh no, the expression Mishnah Zazim, that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me at all. But that's another, I think it's Rabbi Yeshua.
Yeah, isn't that what we said? The in our case, isn't that what the Chazaru?
Is that about Rabbi Yeshua, or that's some
no,
other?
So I'm saying it's like this happens often, or
no, not that commonly, not that commonly. There, that was. It's funny. That's Rechiba. That's going to get interesting. Looking at Yerushalmi, Rechiba Rabba. Okay, fine. So that's the way. So really, what this machlokus is about, in effect, is you can get it backwards. It's really how to read the Mishnah. Is the Mishnah one unified piece, or is it really two stages? Fine. Amar lefanav. I'm sorry. Amar Rechiba Rabba. Go ahead, Moshe. So he said that, all right, so now Rabbi Yochanan obviously holds that the first part of the Mishnah is not Lamaisa. So he says that we paskin, Mamida Mekevas Nevelis, but not Mekevas Shechita Sali Kochavim. What would the reason be without reading further, for those who didn't read further already? Because you think that Shechita Sali Kochavim is Asur Banah. And as we already know from the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah that we quoted earlier, if it's Asur Banah, then it's going to be, everything's Asur Banah. By Avodah Zarah, everything in it is Asur Bahanah. The Gemara says because the fatter the animal is, the more Meshubach it appears and the more valuable it is, and therefore that's part of the Hanah from the animal. The Gemara distinguishes between that for some reason and all other Isuri Hanah, like Shor Niskel, where they assume there's no benefit whatsoever from the Napah. Okay, so anyway, so what is it? Rabbi Shimon Rabba says to him what? Is that you're holding like Rabbi Eliezer to Omar? That Stama Goy, Rabbi Eliezer assumes that the Goyim were very religious. So whenever the Goy does something, he's thinking, you know, it's the shame of the Zara. Right? We had a former president of the United States. And whenever he wanted to do something, he'd ask, you know, what would a certain deity do? And that's the way he made decisions. So you have some people who are very, very religious. So everything he does is the shame his Avodah Zarah. Fine. I'm serious.
It's
one of those things, for the better or worse, and sometimes for the better, in Orthodox, in Halachic Judaism, God plays very little role. We don't talk much about God. That is a reality, for better or for worse. Okay. Perhaps that's because we have so many things to be busy with. But if you don't have so many things to be busy with, you talk about God more. I just think that's a natural outcome.
What's God got to do with halacha?
So start halavai osio azavu v'sarasi shamaru. Okay. So now the Gemara says. So Rabbi Shimon Rabba says, the whole thing probably the answer that most goyim are very religious, and therefore when they shecht an animal, they're thinking the shame their avodah zara. So Amar Lei, he responds. Yeah, which is like saying, duh, yeah. That's what he's saying to him. Right? Rashi writes, Klomar lo hutzrach talishol. What are you asking for? Of course, there's another lashon. In the name of Yochanan. I don't know if those words are part of the Memra. They really wouldn't make a whole lot of... It's possible part of the Memra. I tend to think that's an editorial comment of the Gemara in response to what came before. In other words, here's the other tradition that says that Rabbi Yochanan wasn't machbit at all. Fine.
Like parenthetical?
Yeah. I don't know. In other words, the language is Hebrew. It's sort of Hebrew. So it makes it look like it's part of the continuing of the whole statement. It's possible, but I tend to think that that's really an editorial comment of the Balei of the Masada Rasugya to indicate, just to spell out the obvious. You know, Rabbi Shimon Baraba had asked him, hold like Rabbi Eliezer, and now there's the other tradition, which is not holding like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, because remember in the first statement, Rabbi Yochanan didn't say anything about a reason why. Right? He just said, Mamid Mekevas Neveh, Samin Mekevas Shechita Soez Kochavim. How do we paskin? Behelchasa? Okay. So for the first time, somebody mentions Orkevas Nevela. Whose view is that? Where is that statement first made? Where's the first place we know that it's Mutter Lahamid? That it's Asur Lahamid or Kevas Nevela.
Could you even die from the Mishnah?
Why not?
Because
the word's not there.
You
can't be Medayik anything. The word Kshera is not there. If the word Kshera was there, you can be Medayik from that. That Kevas Nevela would be Asur, which would in effect be Shmuel's Din. Which may be why the Gemara didn't quote a smach. There may be reasons. Okay, I'll put that aside for a moment. But bottom line is the Mishnah doesn't tell you that. The Mishnah says that if you mamid ba'or akeva, you can't have tam abasar. And it doesn't tell you what's the din if you mamid ba'or akevas nevela. So the Gemara here says, Hilchasa imamid ba'or akevas nevela. The first one to explicitly articulate the fact that it's prohibited is Shmuel. He's the first one to explicitly articulate it. Right? It's not the Mishnah. If the Mishnah had said that if you mamid ba'or kshera, that if you can't taste it, it's muteres, habimashba, that what? You're not allowed to be mamid under any circumstances, no Saint Tom or not, with or kevas non kshera, then it wouldn't have been Shmuel's mamir anymore. It would have been the Mishnah. Yes, it certainly does reflects the conclusion of the Gemara. In other words, when the Mishnah actually reflects two things. It reflects the conclusion of the Gemara, A, and B, the assumption that Davar HaMaimid is not Batel. If you reject either of those assumptions, then you don't have to put in Kshera necessarily, because A, if you somehow held it was Mutar Lahamid or Kevas Nevela, you weren't putting Kshera. And B, if you held that Davar HaMaimid was Batel, then the Mishnah's din is true, whether it's Kshera or not. If you hold that there's no special din of Davar HaMaimid, then if you're Mamid or Kevas Kshera, or Kevas Nevela, if you can't taste the Nevela, which Mustama you can't, then it's Mutaras.
Yeah, but then you still be talking about it at the same time. But then you can still pin it on.
The point is the halacha might be that ein mamidim ba'or kevas nevela. Slachatchila, because I'm about to slachatchila. But the din in the Mishnah could still be so that if your mom in bekevas or kevas nevela, if yesh benosin ham, it's aser; ain benosin ham, it's mutter. The Eri and Ikshera assumes that A, we paskin like the Vehilchasa, B, that Davar Maimi is not batel. So the whole din of the Mishnah of distinguishing between whether it's Nosein Tam or not could only be by Or Kevas Ikshera.
Is it really more implying that, I mean, I'm maybe reading your day into this, but more implying that the issue by Davar Maimi is something that's Asar Mat Matasmo? That's what Ikshera.
And there's nothing to do with that issue.
No, that's what Kashera would be implying. The issue of Nosein Tam in this case is Basar Bachala.
Yes, it does. But that's the maskan of the Gemara. It's just not in the Mishnah. Okay. Now, but you're not done yet. Because there's another line here. But tomorrow I will have checked the Kisvei Yad. But this is a very famous line that maybe wasn't. Okay, what does the line say? You're allowed to be mom in the kevas ksheira shenam gena trefa. Why? You didn't answer my question. Why? If you just established that the keva is not part of the animal in which it's found, but it's an independent entity, why? Ksheira shenam gena trefa. The kava chokosha ken kevas trefa shenam gena ksheira. I understand. No, but and Nevelim was Yonka Menachshera, presumably, in most cases. So why? So read on, My time.
Chalav HaMechunas Ba.
I keep saying Chalav, I guess. Chalav HaMechunas Ba. Pirusha B'Almahu. What is that an explanation for? There are two ways of reading it. So it could be that it's an explanation for ksheira shiyankam in a trefa. My time out v'schalav amachunas ba pirsha be'almahu. It's perish. It's like feces. It's not chalav. It's not considered edible. The alternative, but it's difficult, is to say pirsha be'almahu, but it only explains the last one. This is simply not part of the animal. But then you don't understand why the first din. Now, so the question is, where does this line come from? So the obvious culprit is the Halachas Gedolos. Now, it happens to be, you'll take a look and see which of the Rishonim has this line. But that means it's overturning the Mishnah. What? It's attributed to some of the Rishonim say it's from the Bahag. We don't have necessarily everything. You could check it, but the Rishonim already think that this is the Halachas Gedolos. Now, obviously, that matters because it means at least Halachas Gedolos held that way. But it also matters because if you're a Rishon, you don't have to agree with him. And so we're going to see the Machlokas Rishonim as to whether to consider what to deal with this line. Some Rishonim say it's there. Some Rishonim say it's not there. And some Rishonim say, how is there a third possibility? So that you'll discover for tomorrow. So that is the second issue we're going to deal with, which is how to deal with Halach Lamaisa, the Maskana of the Gemara. Did the Gemara come to the conclusion simply that the keva of an animal does not have the status of the animal, but it has independent status? Or did it go further than that and say that not only does the cave of the animal not follow the din of the animal that it's found in, it is considered pirsha, it doesn't even matter what animal it came from, because it's considered garbage, basically, and therefore it doesn't have the status of chalav. Even if we somehow consider an ochel, it's not chalavi anymore, and therefore with basar, it's not basar b'chalav. That's the question we're going to address. So one of the things that you'll take a look at, you'll have the Makoros, but we're going to start with the, I think, God willing, with the Yushalmi tomorrow. So this is the first Yushalmi we will be doing this semester. I'll tell you now, even for some strange reason, they're pretty much finished, but if I don't send the Makoros out, it's the Yushalmi on the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Ironically, the Bavli on the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah doesn't really deal with very much of our issues, but the Yushalmi does very much. In fact, the Yushalmi, in effect, offers a perish on the Mishnah and Chulin. So I bet you, Shlomo, if you look in the fraudulent Yushalmi, I bet you'll have that sugi of the Yushalmi on this Mishnah and Chulin. So that's a good place to take it from. Okay, any questions? One question, and I want to say one more thing, and then we'll have Mincha.
In the first case that comes up in the parentheses, the Kevach Sheira, Shean Kamina Trefa, the mitzvah of that case is that you're taking the curdled milk from a kshera that had nursed from a trefa and using that to put into normal
milk. You take
milk?
Some of that milk and you put it into regular milk and it, yes. Yep.
That's like a very removed. Yeah.
No, the point is you have this milk that a kshera nursed from a trefa, suckled from
right.
a trefa. That's mamish chalev trefa. You take that and you put it into chalev.
Okay.
Is
there any issue of like bittul, or we say that there is no bittul?
It's also if it's pirsha ba'alma, it's mutter to do. It's not a bittul issue. If it's not pirsha ba'alma, then it's a davar ma'amin question. Rabosai, I would really, really appreciate being prepared. I don't want to go to the step of calling on people to read and not taking volunteers and not giving a choice. And so I would appreciate not being pushed into that corner. It's not fair to me when people walk in not prepared, and I would appreciate not having to say anything. It's not even as far as I know. Maybe I'm wrong. You correct me. It's not the heart of midterms where you know people have 7 midterms this week and they have a good excuse not to be prepared. Again, I'm mildly sympathetic if you're doing your day also, but if it's not for that, there is no excuse. Please be prepared.